The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up? This is Joe with the Buckeye Cast, coming at you with another Tuesday podcast. Today we have the head coach, Ryan Day, with your Ohio State Buckeyes and his press conference. And after that, we have interviews with Zach Harrison and Garrett Wilson. Hope you enjoy. I'll be back in to say goodbye. Here we go.
Right in the middle, Dave Biddle, 24/7 Sports.
Ryan, I know things can change based on the circumstances, but right now is the plan to redshirt Evan Pryor and Kyle McCord if possible? I think they've only played in four games.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we still have a lot of football left, like you said, but if we can, we would like to, but you just never know what's going to happen here. Still a lot of big games ahead of us.
How much of a, not just with those guys, but every year, how much of a balancing act is that? You didn't have to worry about it last year, but just how much of a balancing act is that, trying to preserve that year of eligibility, but also doing what's best for your team this year?
Yeah, I mean, you just have conversations and you try to figure that stuff out. But, the good news is some of these guys are actually able to play some games and still redshirt, which is a great thing. How many guys are actually planning on playing for 5 years? And that's up to the individual. But, certainly this time of year, things like that do come up.
We're asking enough questions, so I do have one more. Master Teague, how is he feeling? Do you think he's going to practice today? And just how's he doing overall?
Okay, he's doing okay. It's kind of day-to-day right now.
Right next door, Joey Coffin, Columbus Dispatch.
Ryan, your senior day honoree got announced, and there's some guys who are like juniors in terms of eligibility, Nick Petit, Frere, Master Teague, and then there's some seniors who are also on the list, like Taraji Mitchell. Can you walk us through kind of like the list a little bit?
Yeah, no, we just, anybody who's, considered a senior, whether it's eligibility wise, who wants to go ahead and walk, out on that before the game, they get a chance to do that. I don't think most of them made a decision on what their future holds for them. But at the same time, they want to have that opportunity. So if something were to happen, whether go to the NFL or whatever, that they would have an option to do that. So we just kind of leave it up to them. I wouldn't look too far into any of those things.
And as far as this week's matchup goes, Kenneth Walker's lead the nation in rushing, really good back. He's kind of known for his patience, and people have talked about that. What do you see as the challenge with stopping him? Was there any kind of like similarity with Mo Ibrahim in the first game? He was a guy who was kind of tired about his patience. Have you faced a back like him?
I don't know. You're right. He does have great patience. He's ran the ball just about everybody in the country. Their line does a good job. They have, very good offense, and he's a big part of it. Makes a lot of guys miss in the hole, and so you're going to need to do a great job up front in defeating blocks, and then it's going to take more than one guy to bring them down. But you're right. I think his vision and his patience and his ability to make a guy miss in the hole are probably some of the things he does best.
Ryan, you guys didn't really get any pressure on the quarterback against Purdue. Obviously, they were getting the ball out quickly, but when you look back at the film, is there anything you look at and see as a concern there?
The game kind of turned into a passing game quickly because the score was so lopsided early on, and we jumped up pretty heavily on them, and the ball was coming out quickly, and we were rallying to the ball. But certainly, there's times where we could have tightened up the coverage, and there were other times where we probably could have got to the quarterback faster. So, again, there was a lot of things on that film that we learned, especially playing against a more, pass-heavy team. Yeah.
Hard, in a game like that, you're up 35-7, in the rest of a game, you kind of have a bigger lead. Like, is it harder to maybe keep the same level of defensive intensity that you would in a closer game?
It shouldn't. I think maybe human nature kicks in, but it's certainly not what we want. We have a standard every time we get on the field to score 0-0. So that shouldn't affect us. Whether it did or not, I don't know. But, we play to our standard here.
Right front, Stephen Means, Cleveland.com.
I think Travion played maybe the first three or four series, and then you guys brought mine in. Is that the type of balance you're looking for there? Obviously, Travion being your guy, but you know, working with another guy maybe 3 or 4 series in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's about right.
How with Mayan and Travion specifically, like, how do they complement each other as running backs?
I think, you know the skill set, but I think Travion has his skill set. I think Mayan brings in, he's got, you know, really good vision. He's strong. He's powerful. I think you saw him finish some runs off where, you know, he was turning those runs into more than they were and running on contact. I think he's really good at that. He's built low to the ground, so he's strong when he runs. And, you know, I think, you know, Travion's probably a little bit more of a home run hitter, but both really good backs. And like you said, they do complement each other.
Sports. Ryan, you talked after the game about CJ's preparation, and he talked to us afterwards about watching film, talking to his teammates about the film, and then seeing that in games and thinking that's helped. When in the course of his development did you see that start to happen, where he was preparing the way you wanted him to, and he was helping other guys in that sense?
I think it's only grown over time, and it's going to continue to grow, and we still have a lot of work to do there, but I think it's just kind of a gradual thing. But I think when he came back after the week off, you know, he kind of came back with a little bit of a different bounce in his step. I think he was healthier, but I think he had a different perspective, and he really kind of started to own and take accountability for the offense.
And Lathan took responsibility for the touchdown over the top of them after the game. Bryson, not Lathan. He said that can't happen, and, you know, it seemed to get to him. How have you seen him kind of step into that role that Josh had at the beginning of the year, and have you seen the development you like for him?
Yeah, he's been very accountable. He's been a good player for us, and I know he wishes he had that play back, and so, you know, he'll come back and get that fixed. But he's a guy that has played well. He's had production. He's graded out as champion. He does a good job of getting everybody lined up and communicating back there, which is very important for the free safety in our defense. He's got tremendous work ethic. He's a, you know, tremendous teammate, and so, yeah, you know, we all have things we want to get back. So the whole thing is, you know, you just don't let him happen again. You get him fixed, and I'm sure he will.
Fourth or left, Jacob Bench, the Lantern.
Hey Ryan, you got a top 10 showdown coming on Saturday. Just how unique is it that the Big Ten has 3 teams in the top 10? And these games have national implications for not only Big Ten titles, stakes, but like CFP stakes and stuff like that. How unique is it?
Well, I think that this has been quite a year for the Big Ten, and I think when you look at the second half of the season in the Big Ten, there's been some unbelievable games. There's been some really good matchups, and it's week in and week out. I mean, I think you're finding who can sustain in November. There's no weeks off. You know, we had our bye week after week 6, you know, and I think most of the teams in the conference did as well, but then after that, I mean, it's all conference games. You're talking 9 of them, and we got very good teams from top to bottom. So you have to bring it week in and week out, and I think that's the challenge right now. And you're seeing some really good teams in the league, and it's obviously a lot stronger this year than maybe the last couple.
Going back to Master and Lyon, you know, speaking about the stretch run, is the plan to kind of split the carries to keep them both fresh down the stretch run, or is how do you kind of envision that going forward for those?
No, at this point, we're trying to win the games. You know, this is. This is, you know, you win, you move on. If you don't, you know, you're done. So, I mean, that's the mindset. You know, we're trying to win a championship here. And so at this point, it's, you know, you got to go play the best guys that gives you the best chance to win.
Front row middle, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
Ryan, presumably you will be on the sidelines this year against Michigan State, like last year. How hard was that? And can you kind of, you allow yourself to savor at least having a normal season, and even with all the pressure, things are kind of back to normal. You've got a team that's in the hunt.
Right.
You just kind of address that.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that the other day when I read that, you know, there were some outbreaks and things going on across the country, and I thought back on last year and what that was like, having to deal with that, and certainly would never want to go through anything like that again. That week in particular was very difficult, but, you know, it was great to see, you know, the leaders and our staff really step up and go on a road, and you know, we had a bunch of people down that week. There was some staff members, there was players, you know, so it was a big challenge, but you learned a lot about our character and our culture of this team to go see that happen, and I was proud of that, but it was not easy at all. And it is great, you know, the fans, seeing them in the stands, and, you know, every once in a while, you take a look up at the, you know, the stands, at least I do now this year, and when things are going well, you kind of, you know, smile because, you know, they're enjoying themselves. you know, they're having fun back together again, you know, 100 plus thousand people in the stadium, you know, after a touchdown. I mean, that's what this thing's all about. And to say I haven't enjoyed that wouldn't be true. I mean, it's been great to get back in there, even going on the road and going into hostile environments. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you coach.
And Michigan State's had an amazing turnaround with Mel Tucker. Can you kind of address the job that he's done and the challenge that you faced this week?
Yeah, very good team. They play with really good energy. I think they're really believing in what Mel's doing up there. He certainly turned that roster quickly over into a championship level roster, and they have really good players, and they played well. They have good scheme, so it's a challenge across the board.
Ryan, I know how highly you guys think of Matt Jones and his ability to come in and be that sixth guy. Is that rotation still more about him, or are those other guys more banged up than maybe we know?
It's a little bit of both. We want to play all six, but there's been some things the last few weeks that have come up. You know about the DeJuan situation there, and you know Nick, you know, had a rough week there. He lost a family member, and we've had some guys who've been dinged up. Paris had a couple things here and there. So we just got to move guys around. It's this time of year. And because of the versatility of Paris and Matt and, some of our guys, we've been able to do that. And so that's a tribute to them.
How have you felt that rotation has worked out? And it seemed like, you know, maybe they were more successful with it on Saturday than the previous couple of weeks.
Well, I thought we played well, and we got to continue to do that. We were clean. We were rocking people off the ball. I thought we got really good movement in the red zone, but we were clean. You know, the combination blocks were clean. The pad level was much better. We played with really good energy. Protection was really good. Karloftis was a big challenge, you know, and they stepped up to the challenge there. So that's the type of play we need from the offensive line in November in the Big Ten if we're going to continue to, you know, play well.
Second row left, Bill Landis, The Athletic.
Ryan, your first touchdown the other day, you hit the crosser, I think, with Garrett and Jackson on the outside there. Did CJ get you into that based on what he saw? And I guess, like, how much leeway does he have kind of looking at those things and making those decisions?
We've been giving him more and more. He did. He changed that play based on what he was seeing and signaled the play. And it was really, really well done. Again, those are the things that people don't see, is all the hours that we put in to those type of things. And he did it. And that's why it worked. You know, and there's a lot to it. I told the team that, you know, in order to be good this time of year, you have to upgrade yourself every week, you know. And I use the analogy of the iPhone. You know, the iPhone that was around 3 years ago is a little different than the iPhone there is now. It has different capabilities, it's more updated, and you have to continually update yourself week in and week out. And because of that, you know, hopefully the guys understand they have to bring it every week, because the plays that worked 4 weeks ago maybe not work this week, because guys, they go into laboratory and they come up with ways to try to scheme you up. And so you have to continually stay up with, you know, and current with your stuff. And I think he's done a good job of that, and we got to continue to do that again this week.
And that point in particular, it did look like they were going to bring some pressure, and then they kind of backed out of it. But, you know, CJ saw what he saw, and he made his call, and it still worked. Like, is there anything to sort of sticking to your guns there, even if what you see is not exactly how it plays out?
Exactly right. And that's the biggest thing, is to be indecisive, you know. And, you know, we tell them all the time, once you make a decision, be decisive and go make it work, because it's not always going to be perfect. That's not the way the game's played. But as long as everybody's on the same page, we're good. And when you have different tools to get you out of situations, it's and not everybody can handle that, but he could in that moment. So now he's got to keep building on it.
Deep far left, Mark Snyder, Press Pros.
Hey, Coach, nobody has really talked much about your special teams this year. I guess that's a good thing. It's so hard to play special teams nowadays, but what has gone into it this year? Nothing really has blown up and cost you a lot of yards. At the same time, people look like they're making really good decisions catching the ball.
Yeah, I think Parker Fleming has stepped in done a very good job up to this point of motivating our guys, putting scheme together, bringing a new kicker, a new punter in. But I think the guys in the special teams are taking a lot of pride. I think we have a really good core of guys on special teams, a good mix of some veterans, some young guys, and even some guys who are walk-ons who came into this program who have really built a huge role for themselves in special teams. And they take a lot of pride in it. And I think I mentioned it before. The walkthroughs before a game that we have at the hotel or wherever we're at are as sharp and as real as I've been around. Just an edge to them. They bounce around. It's just really on point. They take their job very, very seriously, and that's winning football. And I think you've seen that on special teams. But again, it's got to continue because it's week to week.
Is this a product of hunger with a lot of the young guys coming off great recruiting years wanting to make their mark?
Well, you don't come here to play special teams. And so the challenge is, how do you motivate players to want to play special teams? And there's two things here. First off, we believe our best players play, and we show clips of some of the great players to come to Ohio State who cut their teeth in special teams. The second thing is, when we teach special teams, you're learning football. It's all about ball. So you're learning how to take on a block. You're learning how to use different skills and fundamentals that you're going to use in your position. I think Matt Barnes kind of started it the previous years, but Parker took it over, where they'll show a special teams clip, and then they'll show them in their position. So take, for example, our running back who's working a dip and rip. He's got the ball in his hand. He does the same thing on a dip and rip to avoid a tackle. We say it's all ball. You're learning how to become a better football player in special teams. So those are the two things that we talk about to try to help the guys, you know, be motivated to play special teams. And they take a lot of pride in it. And I think you can see that when they're on the field.
Deep left, Brendan Gulick, Buckeyes Now, Sports Illustrated.
Hey, Coach, I realize you started to address it a little bit when Bill asked about Mel Tucker. But when you've had a chance both last year watching that team, and now it's a different team this year, but all the scouting you've kind of done, obviously they've run the football well. Beyond that, when they're playing at their best, what does that look like to you?
It's complimentary. I think that their defense is very good. They don't give you a lot of X plays. They're very good on third down, good in the red zone, try to create turnovers, and then they try to control the game on offense, running the football. So when they're creating turnovers and not giving up a lot of big plays on defense, controlling the game on offense with run game, and then play action pass to try to create some things down the field once you put an extra guy in the box, that's kind of their deal. And then they have a good punter, and they're good on special teams. So if they're playing I'm sure their plan to win is to play field position football just like ours is, then that's kind of their recipe.
The last couple of weeks probably showed why he is so valuable, between not being there against Nebraska and what he did last week. What other things can you share with us that you've seen that fans don't get a chance to see when they're watching a game at the stadium or on TV that showcase or highlight why he is so special?
I think it's more about what happened in the offseason his dedication with Coach Mick in the weight room his work with Coach Hart in the in the meeting rooms. I think he's just been a pro this year and has really taken a big step in those areas of being a pro, taking care of his body. He's strong, he's powerful, he's his football IQ has gone way up in the last year or two. I just think he's really upgraded his game. He's very, very competitive, always has been. He loves to play, but sometimes you can't just go out there and play. You have to play within the offense, and I just think he's taken a lot of strides in that area.
Fourth row left, Jack Emerson, the Lantern.
Hey, Ryan, I want to ask about one of those walk-ons on special team. Chris Booker had a tackle inside the 20 on the opening kickoff, and then he helped force that fumble down by the, I think it was around the 11. When you have a team full of 4- and 5-star guys, how does it feel to have a guy like Chris, who was a former club team player, come in and make an impact like that?
No, it's tremendous. And, you look at what he's done, he's player of the week, Cade Kaczorski, Xavier Johnson. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them that are doing it, helping, and a big part of our special teams. And, to see Chris make some of those plays in a big game like that was tremendous, especially with his background and what he's been through, kind of out of football for a year or so, and then trying to find his way on the club team, and then obviously walked on here. And when he got here, he looked a lot different than he does right now. So really cool to see guys, kind of self-starters, build themselves into a career.
And I don't know if you've seen this yet, but they have the club team has qualified for the national championship. Is there kind of a pipeline that you see from the club team? Do you talk to Coach Grega a lot, or how does that kind of thing?
I think we're aware of them, but certainly I can't sit here and tell you I'm an expert on what's going on there.
Hey, Ryan, go back to the defense a little bit. You said that you guys kind of used that drop eight approach a little bit, and I'm curious about what you saw watching film. Did that work? Is that something that you could see, being utilized more in the future, especially with, pass heavy offense?
I think it gives you a different look. The windows change, but you still have to execute the defense. And I don't think we did that well enough, to be quite honest. So, you know, we'll look at it. And again, certain teams, if it gives us an advantage, we'll do it. But you have to execute it. And obviously, there's give and take with everything, right? You know, when you rush three, you buy an extra guy in coverage, but you also lose a little bit of the pass rush. So making the decision on what gives us the best chance that week is what we'll do. But no matter what it is, whether you bring 3, 4, 5, or 6, you have to execute the defense.
This might be an overly simple question, but what is the pass rusher's goal in terms of developing, like, just pass coverage? How important is a distinct pass rush to, I guess, the coverage of the back?
That's everything. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, tying up in the front with the back end is exactly, you know, how you put a defense together. And, you know, you have the decision week in and week out to rush 3, rush 4, rush 5, or rush 6. If you rush 6, then you're probably playing some sort of zero coverage where there's no safety in the middle of the field. If you rush 5, then you're probably playing with one safety in the middle of the field in some sort of man-to-man coverage. If you rush 4, then you're probably playing with 2 safeties, or there's an extra guy down, which we call the hole player. And so those are the kind of the conversations that, you know, you try to figure out what gives you the best chance to win.
And sticking on the defensive theme, you played 2 really strong rushing teams early on, and then since then, that really hasn't been the strength of, I think, any opponent you've played.
Yeah.
So how are you kind of assessing, while the defense as a whole has improved, how are you assessing the improvement against the run and
right.
Where you are right now?
Yeah, it's week to week, like you said, because it seems like every week is just a completely different. When you look at Minnesota as compared to Rutgers or Indiana, Purdue, now we have Michigan State, Penn State was very different, you know, so week in and week out, it's, you know, each team brings in a different, you know, set of issues, and, you know, all we can do is go off of what we see and do the best we can to put the guys in the best position to be successful, and at the end of the day, it's going to come down to pad level and defeating blocks and, a bunch of guys running to the ball. So we'll get, you know, I think at this point of the year, we got a pretty good handle on who we are, and now it's just a matter of executing and playing well.
From a tackling standpoint, is that something that was more emphasized after those two earlier weeks, and where do you feel like you are right now, just fundamentally?
We'll still practice tackling today. It's part of every Tuesday when the pads are on, and it's, you know, it was an emphasis in the preseason. We tackled way more than we ever have before because we knew we had a young team. And it's been an emphasis week in and week out since we started because we are still a young team, even though we've played a lot more football now. The good news is there's more body of work to go upon, and we have more experience, so we don't need to do it as much.
Third row middle, Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com.
Ryan, you've talked through the year of CJ's development and seeing the field and how you like how he sees the field. Now you're talking about some changes he's making up the line and that kind of thing. How do you evaluate that characteristic in a quarterback recruit? Is that more difficult than evaluating, hey, he's got a good arm or whatever? Like, what's that process for you? And try, because it seems obviously very important to what you want in a guy and to how he's going to succeed.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And I think every quarterback is different. But you're looking for some sort of extraordinary trait, whatever that might be. And you do the best you can to try to project what that's going to look like in your offense. But it's not always easy. You know, you get to spend some time with them, but you're not actually in the games with them, and you're not with them in meetings every day. And there's just so much that comes with it. And you do the best you can to try to identify who those guys might be, and you go from there.
The mental acuity, seeing the field, knowing what play to get into, that can be the extraordinary trait for some quarterbacks?
Absolutely, yeah. And it is for, you know, I would argue that the guys who make it, you know, for a long time in the NFL, the majority of them have that because it's a very complicated game at the highest level. You know, just to say, I'm just going to go out there and throw the ball around, it doesn't work like that.
And flipping to the defensive side, ideally with your linebackers, what in the defense that you guys play, how much should your linebackers be identifying something and attacking it? How much is read and react, maybe make sure you're in the right place, but don't be overly aggressive? It just feels like sometimes Steele is getting after it, right? But what's the ideal balance of how you guys want linebackers to play?
Well, you have your keys, and then you use those keys to identify what to do. You know, and so let's just say you're reading, you're a defender, and you're reading the play side tackle. If the play side tackle pass blocks, typically you need to now react in some sort of a passing mode. But if he's in the run, then you have to get up into the run. And one of the, you know, the traits, if you're talking about a defensive player, is how quickly can they react? Can they see their keys and then diagnose what they're seeing? And there's a lot to it than just reading the tackle. You know, it might be a screen. It might be a pass play. What is the concepts? What are the splits? What is the depth of the running back? There's all these things that we look at. And the faster you can process information and faster you can diagnose a play, the faster you can react, like you're saying.
You go far right, Spencer Holbrook, Letterman Row.
Ryan, when you have three wide receivers that are doing what your three are doing right now, you had Jackson 2 weeks ago, then you had Garrett last week. Are we just supposed to expect that Chris is going to do more of the same this week?
No. We're just trying to win the game. I don't know. I mean, good news is, you know, if guys are just where they're supposed to be and CJ's throwing the ball where the defense tells him to throw it, then, you know, the ball's going to get spread around pretty good. If we start to press, if we start to do anything and deviate other than that, then that's where we get ourselves in trouble.
You have Chris as the lone Bolivnikov finalist, but he's the third leading receiver on the roster. When you hear that kind of thing, like, what is that? What do you make of that? Because you're the play caller. You're the guy who's getting these guys involved along with CJ. Like, what do you make of that?
Well, I think it just tells you, first off, I mean, I think people across the country know what a great receiver Chris is. And there's a lot of teams who just decide that they're going to take Chris away and put a corner and a safety over the top and say he's not going to beat us because we've seen him do it against a lot of people in the country. And that can be frustrating for Chris, but or, you know, play a certain coverage that can take him away, which forces the ball to maybe go somewhere else. And, you know, he's a great team player. He's got great leadership. He's got a great attitude. And you know, he's got a bright future in football. I mean, a really bright future. He's a first rounder. So how does that all work out when the dynamics of the team week in and week out? You know, you don't know. It changes. You know, he caught a post for a touchdown that got called back in the game. You know, he catches that. Maybe his numbers look different. You know, you just don't know. It's just kind of how the game shakes out. But he's playing at a high level. He's a great leader and a great captain.
Going to go far left.
Coach, we're going to transition to senior day. You know, talk a little bit about the legacy the senior class will be leaving, you know, how they helped this season, their legacy as a whole.
Yeah, well, they've been through a lot. They've been through COVID. They've been through, you know, a great run last year, and they've been through a lot this year, and they've grown a lot. A lot of them didn't have a ton of experience going into this year. Some others did. They came back, and there's a bunch of them in there, but they've won a lot of football games, and like you said, a lot of them have left legacies behind of, you know, how others have shown them the way, and how now they're showing some of the younger guys the same way. And I think that that's been really strong. I'm very proud of the legacy that they've left our younger players. I think it's real. I think they take a lot of pride in Ohio State, especially at a time where, you know, it's a little bit more about me than it is the university and the program. I don't feel that with our team. I think there's a lot of pride in being Buckeyes, and I know that going out in the stadium is going to mean a lot to them.
And what are you telling your guys ahead of senior day to pump them up? Does this mean something special to them this week? Talk a little bit about that.
I try to talk to them about it during the season. I mentioned it for a while last week. You know, I said, you know, and I just talked to them, don't wait till the last game to lay it all on the field, because, you know, I was there. That, you know, my last game, it's like, man, I wish I had a couple more games. And so I try to bring it up to them all the time. Like, don't wait till your last game. Like, do it now, because you just never know what's coming, and you certainly don't want any regrets. So this is just another opportunity to get out there. But it also will bring up some emotions. You know, there's been a lot that they've done to get to this point. You know, there's a lot of work, and they need to enjoy the day and take it all in.
Have time for just a few more. Go over here to the far right, Doc Berry, WBNS.
Coach, obviously this time of the year, weather can be a factor. The conditions this past Saturday weren't great, cold. There was wind.
Yeah.
CJ was 31 of 38. I mean, just how impressed were you with the performance given that?
Yeah, it wasn't perfect, but, you know, we always talk about how you have to handle it better than your opponent. That's, we can't control the weather. Kind of the same situation happened in Indiana, kind of out of the blue. And we're going to have situations like that. It's not going to get any warmer. It's not going to get any the brighter out. I know that. So we're going to have to be able to handle it. But we knew that. We talked about in November, these last 6 weeks, there's a lot that comes with that. And typically the tougher team, tougher physically, tougher mentally, and tougher emotionally will win. And so we talked about it, but I thought our guys played tough. And, you know, it was cold and it was windy. But that's football in November in the Big Ten.
But for him to be able to grow in those conditions, yeah. What did you learn about him then?
Yeah, I asked him before the game. I said, can a Cali kid throw the ball in, you know, 40-degree weather with 10-mile-an-hour winds? And he said, yeah, no problem, coach. And he just shrugged it right off. So, I mean, it's always good to see. You never know until you see it, but there'll be worse weather coming.
How big of a challenge is this Saturday? When you look at these guys, what do you see?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge. And it's a challenge because they're very, very good, a top 10 team in the country, you know, playing for a chance to go to Indy. You know, we got everything on the line here. And, you know, both teams have had to bring it every week for a long time. You know, we're in November. So when you add all those things up, I mean, it's a giant challenge.
Far right, Adam King, WBNS.
You talk about the challenge. You said March Madness a lot, heard from the team a lot. How much do you guys focus on the fact that this is a top 10 game? I mean, this is the eye of college football on you. And then how much do you say just treat it like another game?
Well, we always say it's always been about us. And so it doesn't matter who we're playing. It's about our preparation and who we are. And if we're playing at our standard, then a lot of good things happen. So that's what we focus on. But at the same time, we have a lot of respect for every team we play. And we knew this six-game run here at the end of the season, if you don't show up, you're going to get beat, just the bottom line. And we try to own that and bring it every week and be consistent. And that's what greatness is bringing it every week. They don't say you're a great team if you don't bring it every week. And so that's what we got to do. And a big part of that is just having the respect for these teams like we do at Michigan State.
Do you guys get excited for having maybe that game that's on the center stage, that top 10 matchup, to get fired up for that?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is what it's all about, is being in November and, you know, having game day in town and top 10 matchup. I mean, this is why you come to Ohio State.
And we'll wrap it up with probably a quickie or two from Tim May, Letterman Row.
I don't know if that was a cut or a butt. What do you think, Ryan?
No, you're good.
Yeah. When you get ready to present, you and Corey, y'all get ready to present CJ, hey, this is what this team's all about this week, you know, you're facing. How much at this point in the season do you pare things down? I mean, try to keep from overloading, I guess, what he should prepare for. But then number two, to extrapolate where that defense can now go, based on what you guys have shown. You know what I mean? Is that the great juggling match at this moment, the information?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think you can really screw guys up, or you cannot give them enough information. I think, you know, how do you process all that information as a coach, but just sift it through and just give them exactly what they need and keep it really, really clean so their eyes are really, really – if you have to reteach something, if you start to give them things to think about that are out of whack, you can confuse a player really fast. And so that's why I take that very, very serious.
And one other quickie, promise the last one. Is it a benefit playing Michigan State now 10 games into the year as opposed to playing this team, which was totally remade, you know, roster-wise by Mel Tucker over the offseason? Now you have a much more of a sense of what that team is all about when you watch them on video, if you follow my drift there.
Yeah, I think we're both different now, and it's just a different challenge. It would have been a different challenge if it was week three or four of the season. Certainly if it was week one, we're just a different team now. So, you know, once the schedule came out, you know, you'd have the season to kind of get a feel for who you are and who they are. And that's a different challenge than coming in on the first couple games of the year. And you have the whole off season to kind of change who you are, your personnel, your scheme, your coaching. And but now there's a body of work there to, you know, work upon when you're trying to game plan.
Can I ask one last quickie?
Of
Is
course.
There a point of pride for you and your group that y'all are number one in the nation in total offense and number one in scoring offense, in scoring? You know, do you feel like y'all are getting there?
I think we have confidence, and I think we're proud of that, yes. But I also think that there's a, an expectation, and that we all have. And you don't just go out there and score X number of points. You take it one play at a time, and you play clean, and a lot of big plays are going to happen. And when we start to focus on that, that's what's important. But really, the thing that happened last week is we had a great week of practice. We had an edge to us. We practiced with purpose. There were guys who wanted to get things right. And because of that, we played that way. And that's what we got to do. And sometimes for 18, 19, 20-year-old guys, that's not always easy. But that's the challenge this week. And if we practice that way on all three phases, then we're going to have a better week on Saturday. So, yep, thanks.
All right, folks, we're going to open up the floor today, right now, for Mr. Zach Harrison. First question over here to the right, Austin Ward, Letterman Row.
Would you just like to issue an open plea to draw a holding call? Like,
What is it going to take for you to draw a flag?
I mean, you just got to keep playing, man. I'm not going to sit here up and complain that we get held a lot, but, you know, it definitely happens sometimes, but, you know, we still got to make plays.
But how hard is that? Like, this three games in a row, your jersey is literally being pulled back like 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can see it except apparently them.
Yeah. Like,
that's got to be frustrating to try and play through that.
Yeah, definitely it is a little frustrating, but like I said, man, there's ways to get around it. You know, there's things that I'm doing that are allowing them to hold on to me. So, you know, that's just on me. I got to get better. I mean, yeah, it's a little technique stuff that we go over with Coach Jay that, you know, they can't get their hands on you, they can't hold you. So that's something that I got to work on.
Go over your third row left, Dan Hope, 11 Warriors.
Zach, how hard is it to pressure the quarterback when Purdue is releasing the ball as fast as it is? And if there are things that, you look back on the film, that you guys think you guys could have done better in the pass rush?
Yeah, you know, that's always a challenge. You know, they've been pretty much catch and throw the whole game. But there was opportunities where, you know, they did hold the ball a little longer, and we got to take advantage of those opportunities and get home.
For you personally, you're going to have a decision to make after the season about the NFL. Have you thought at all about this could possibly be your last game in Ohio Stadium?
You got to beat Michigan State.
Right behind him, Jacob Bench, the Lampard.
Speaking of Michigan State, I mean, it's going to be a top-10 showdown, and Big Ten having three teams in the top 10 and not just vying for a conference title, but the CFP implications. Just how different is it that the Big Ten has quality teams the top 10 showdown on Saturday?
I mean, I think every Big Ten opponent is good. I feel we're in the best conference in college football right now, and it shows that. You said we got three teams in the top 10, and that's not by accident, you know, so we got to go out there on Saturday and play our best ball to get a win.
From the film, from the Spartans, what have you seen from Kenneth Walker? I mean, his numbers don't lie. He's leading the nation in rushing. Just how do you guys plan on kind of combating that?
Yeah, he's a legit running back. You know, he's explosive. He's a big guy. He can run through tackles. So, you know, that's something we just got to key in this week on and make sure our run fits and our fundamentals are right.
Second row left, Stephen Means, Cleveland.com.
Kenneth, it's been a while since you guys have played maybe an elite level running back like that. You did the first 2 weeks, and you guys kind of struggled at times with CJ and with Muhammad. What did you guys learn from those two, you know, performances that can help you now?
You know, that was those are the Minnesota guys, right? Yeah. Yeah, that was a long time ago. You know, I feel like we're a different defense than we were then.
I guess, like, what makes it difficult to, you know, match up against a guy like that, I guess? I
mean, he's just a good back. I got to give all credit to him. You know, his O-line does a good job of moving guys out the way, and he's got good vision. He sees the holes, and he hits the holes hard. So, you know, it presents a good challenge for us.
Fourth row left, Colin Gay, Rivals.
Was last week's preparation in terms of preparing for the for Purdue's pass-heavy defense, was that different for the defensive line room than any other week? Or, I mean, especially with, you know, the rest of the defense dropping eight, rushing three, things like that. Was it a different preparation, or was it the same?
It's pretty much the same preparation. You know, coach comes in with the game plan on Tuesdays, and we try to do our best to perfect it by the time Saturday comes.
What did you learn? I guess, I mean, without as much pressure as you guys usually put, what did you learn about your room? What did you learn about the capabilities, or how important the defensive line is in terms of the overall pass coverage?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the D-line is a key part to stopping the passing game. You know, if the quarterback's just there all day with all the time in the world, he's going to, you know, pick any defense apart. And that's on us to, you know, get him uncomfortable, get off the spot, you know, get him on the ground.
Third row middle, Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com.
Zach, you just mentioned this, that you said you're a different defense from the first couple games of the year. I mean, every year you guys grow and evolve and you get better the course of the year. But how would you describe how much you feel like that's, like, not us at all? Mm-hmm. Like, there were different things this year that would contribute to that.
Yeah, I feel like one is, you know, guys are getting more confident. Guys are getting more experience, you know. You look at the first 2 weeks, we had guys with zero starts coming in Minnesota. There's one start going into Oregon, you know. That's, you know, you got to get your feet under you before you can start playing really good ball. And I feel like that's what we did.
And so, I mean, would you – when you watch film of yourselves or whatever, I mean, do you ever look back at the first couple weeks, or is it just you're really focusing on here's what we did last week or a couple weeks ago?
Here's what we did last week, and then we focus on that opponent coming up.
Over here, front row right, Tim May, Letterman Row.
Yeah, Zach, as you watch their quarterback, Michigan State's Peyton Thorne, what just jumps out at you about him and the way they protect him?
Like I said, you know, their O-line does a good job of, you know, pass protection, you know, guys try to get after him, and, you know, they're sitting on blocks, and that's something that, you know, we got to be disruptive and get him off his spot and, you know, make him look at his second and third option and stuff like that.
When you know another team has got an elite back, and yet they also like to throw the ball, How much does it just kind of change your mindset, as a, like a defensive end in a game like this, about the precaution of the run game, yet you got to get to the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, you got to stop the run first. You know, you stop the run and make a team one-dimensional, you know. You get to pin your ears back and go rest the passer.
Did I miss anybody? Far left, deep, Brandon Gulick. Brandon Gulick, Buckeyes Now on Sports Illustrated.
Zach, what, just you personally, not the defense as a whole, what have you gotten better at this year?
I feel like I've gotten more consistent. You know, before my past two seasons, you know, I would make plays and would, you know, I would go games without making any plays. Now I feel like, you know, I'm impacting the game every week.
And when you look at Michigan State's offensive line, you're prepping for this week, do they remind you of another offensive line that you've seen this year?
Not really. I mean, they're all new guys, so it's...
Dispatch.
Zach, what do you remember most about last year's Michigan State game? I mean, it was probably surreal. You didn't have Coach Day. You missed a lot of the offensive linemen. What was that game like? You remember?
It was cold. I remember that. And I remember I was just happy, you know, seeing Coach Jay out there, you know, being a coach. That's what, you know, one of his goals, and to, you know, help him achieve that, you know, it means a lot to me.
And, you know, I asked Coach Jay this. Do you take any time, have you taken any time this year to savor having a normal season, having routines, having fans mm-hmm. in the stands, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot better than last year. You know, the being able to get in a routine and doing this every week, and you said the fans, that's huge. You know, feeling the momentum on the field and the energy that they bring, you know, helps a lot, definitely.
Right next door, Joey Kaufman, Columbus Dispatch.
Zach, what do you see on film that makes, like, Kenneth Walker a unique back or somebody who's been able to rush for 1,400 yards?
You know, he's explosive. You know, he's got really good vision. He's got a good old line who does a good job of moving guys out the way. And, you know, he finds the holes and, you know, he hits them hard.
When you face a back with good vision, what challenges does that create for you guys? What's, like, really important for you guys to do to defend somebody who has, like, good vision, good cutting ability?
You just got to be gap sound. You know, don't get greedy. Let the players come to you.
Over here to the right, Clay Hall, WSYX.
We've all heard that cliche, one game at a time. Pretty appropriate this week. How do you, is the respect you have for this opponent that you're not thinking about next week?
That's every week. You know, yeah, every week we focus on who's in front of us. You can't control the future. You got to just be where your feet at.
We'll go deep left, Olivia Weil, Spectrum One.
I asked Coach this, but I want to ask you too, you know, talk a little bit about this senior class going into senior day. What would you have to say about them, their health this season, and their health for the last 4 years?
Yeah, the seniors, you know, those guys, a lot of those guys were here when I was a freshman. You know, they really helped me out a lot, you know, just learning how to do college football. And, you know, they've helped me as a player individually. You know, their leadership skills, they definitely helped me in that area as well, you know. Like I said, we got a great senior class, and I'm definitely going to miss those guys after the season.
And we have one final question for Zach, third row middle, Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com.
Zach, after 3 years, how would you describe your relationship with Larry Johnson at this point?
Yeah, I love Coach Jay. You know, he's helped me in ways that I can't even begin to discuss. You know, when I came in here, I feel like I was still raw. I didn't really know how to play the game of football at a high level. You know, he's taught me how to do that. And not only that, he's taught me how to be professional on and off the field.
Zach, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to open up the floor for Garrett Wilson, second row left, Stephen Means, Cleveland.com.
Garrett, I was with Christmas, I think last week. Obviously with Justin, when you guys were adjusting to him, it was a lot of learning how to deal with the fact that sometimes he's going to scramble and you guys go into scramble drill a lot of times. When it's clear CJ was going to be the starting quarterback here, what were some of the things in his game that you guys as wide receivers had to, you know, adjust to?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every quarterback's different. Justin was really special and CJ is really special. So, I mean, the ball comes out differently. Just, you know, throwing balls to the sideline, it's a little different this year as far as coming to meet him and, you know, hook routes. We throw a lot of out routes over those past 2 years with Justin, and that's something you may not see us do as much. So, you know, it definitely was an adjustment we had to make in the receiver room, just getting used to ball velocity. And like you said, scramble drill, things like that, not being as big of an emphasis anymore. But, no, I mean, as far as, you know, being a receiver, you know, you love to play with dudes that sit in there and will take a hit and deliver the ball, you know. So,
Zach,
is not having to deal with the scramble stuff, is that maybe more receiver-friendly for you guys as route runners?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's more receiver-friendly. You know, that's something that you have to learn. It takes time to build with the quarterback when a quarterback scrambles. So, you know, you're kind of just playing ball when it's drop back, throw, drop back, throw. So, I mean, you know, scramble has a lot of good things to a lot of yards to be made on it. But as far as, you know, saving your legs and stuff like that, getting your air vet, you know, it's nice to have someone sitting there.
Stevens Wright, Bill Landis, The Athletic.
Garrett, Coach Day said after the game that he thinks one of the areas you've made a big improvement this year is sort of understanding plays kind of conceptually and how you fit into that. And I think he said route running precision too. But I'm more interested in, kind of in that first one, like how did you approach getting a better handle on kind of how you fit into certain plays, even if the play may not ultimately be designed to go to you?
You know, I feel like learning receiver. I probably started really learning receiver my freshman year when I got here. So a lot of you know stuff leading up to my freshman year was just ability and just kind of watching ball live. Always watched ball, loved the game. But you know, it's something to be said about spending more time in the offense. So you know, just as I've been here 3 years, 2 years, and spend more time in Coach Day's offense and seeing how he likes to run things. You know, I'm starting to figure things out more. So. I'd say it came naturally. It was one of those things that just as I spent more time in the program, you know, I got better at.
And on CJ, Coach Day said that first touchdown he threw to you, he changed that play to get into that look. Yeah. The one with you and Jackson on the outside where you kind of crossed.
Okay, yeah.
As an offense, like how much trust do you guys have in CJ right now to kind of see what the defense is showing you and get you into a play that would work against that look?
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate amount of trust, so. You know, that's our QB. That's the leader of the offense. And, I mean, when I take the field, you know, I got all my faith in CJ. And, you know, I like to think that he has the same. So, you know, we've trained so hard in the offseason, you know, practice the adjustments we make in the game that, you know, seeing him do it in the game is clockwork. So, I mean, we had done that rep where we changed it to that's crossing routes, like you said, the dragon concept. You know, we had done that probably 5 times in practice that week. So, you know, seeing him do it throughout practice week, you know, if we get the right look, he's going to be able to see that and make the right adjustment in the game.
We're going to go far left, Dan Hope, 11 Warriors.
Garrett, for you personally, you're going to have an NFL decision to make after the season. Have you thought at all about the possibility that this could be your last home game in Ohio Stadium?
I've most definitely thought about it. So, you know, it's all came fast here, being here. It doesn't seem like I've been here as long as I have. But, and, you know, when you play at a great program like Ohio State and you play at the highest level like we do and you're one of the, you know, players involved with that, you're going to have a opportunity to make important decisions that, you know, are good decisions to make, but hard ones. So, you know, I put myself in a situation to where I have that decision to make, and it's a blessing, but, you know, I'm trying to focus on finishing the season the right way.
Have you made a decision yet, or are you waiting until after the season?
I'm waiting until after the season. Yes,
right in front of him, Jared Smalley, WCMH.
Jared, after doing some fun internet research this week, it's kind of hard to find. I think it's less than a handful of teams in college football history that been able to put 3 1,000-yard receivers on a field. You all have an excellent chance to do that. And I wonder two things. How competitive is that among the three of you? And secondly, what that does to a defense. How much stress it puts on your opponent.
Between the three of us, you know, we don't talk about it. So, I mean, you know, I say that, but then after Jackson had the game he had, I said, you got 1,000 yards, don't you? So it's not completely true. But, you know, we don't talk about it in the comparative, you know, topic. It's more of just – you know, seeing where you're at. And we know that with our game plans, the way we like to play football, the way, you know, what it takes to win, if we do our jobs, you know, it'll put us at a spot at the end of the year to where, you know, where we're sitting right now. So we all got a chance to go get 1,000 yards, and that's something that's, you know, really special. Not a lot of other people can say, not a lot of other programs can say and use that as a recruiting pitch. So, you know, it's one of those things that it's definitely special, but the impact this can have on recruiting, you know, just how it looks to the outside world is something that's even more holds more weight.
Fourth row left, Jacob Bench, The Lantern.
Hey, Garrett, you know, Saturday's going to be a top 10 matchup. And the 3 top 10 teams from the Big Ten with implications not just for the conference title but for the college football playoff. Just how different is it for the Big Ten to have teams ranked so highly and have a top 10 showdown like it?
Yeah.
How different is it?
I mean, this is the Big Ten I grew up watching. So, you know, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State not as much this year, but, you know, they were a really good team. You know, we still feel like that's one of the best teams we played all year. And just having a highly competitive Big Ten, I mean, it's everything you can ask for. So, you know, when you take a loss early in the year, you know, you kind of hope the schedule plays out to where you're playing teams that are ranked higher than you, you know, ranked up in the top 10, and that's kind of how it's played out. So, you know, we're really thankful for that, be able to prove ourselves this late in the year, which it hasn't been the case in, you know, the past couple seasons I've been here. And, you know, it's something that we talk about every day. So we knew this was going to be that stretch to where we were going to have to really lock in and handle business. So we're in that stretch now, and we're just trying to finish.
You've been in these situations before, top 10 games, but C.J. Stroud being a freshman, first-year starting quarterback, how have you seen him grow over, you know, from August to now for him to go into Saturday's game maybe a little bit more trusted in himself? Just how have you seen that from him?
No, I mean, I've seen huge growth from C.J. as far as addressing the team and just, you know, the way he composes himself out on the field. So, you know, it's something that happens naturally. You know, he was a freshman redshirt coming in this season, so, you know, you can expect some growing pains. And, you know, I think he's handled them, you know, perfectly. And, you know, he's put us in a situation now to go out and be at our best for these last couple games, you know.
Deep left, Brendan Gulick, Buckeyes Now on Sports Illustrated.
Hey, Garrett, I'm hoping you can take us back maybe to where, you know, you were a high school recruit and you're trying to figure out where you want to play your college football and sort of what you've experienced and been through here. You're right in the heart of what every high school kid dreams about, wanting to play in the college football playoff. You know, you've certainly got that in front of you. How has this experience lived up to what you hoped it would for you?
I mean, being at Ohio State to this point has been everything I could have dreamed of, and, you know, a lot more. So to be able to come out and have a role in my freshman year was something I dreamed of my whole life. And then to be able to play in the playoff against Clemson, even though it didn't go how we wanted, you know, that was an awesome experience for me. And just being able to go out there and get reps against some of the top corners, you know, you see A.J. Terrell, Isaiah Simmons, safety, just players on the team that are, you know, really good NFL players now. So I got to figure out, you know, once I was here at a young time, you know, how I stacked up and if I could compete. So, you know, Ohio State's put me in a great position. And, I mean, it's really been everything I ever dreamed of. So, like you say, everything's in front of us, and, you know, just got to finish this. You know, this thing the way we wanted to.
Ryan Day talked about your professionalism this year. Said just the way you've attacked your preparation and your work ethic, it feels like you're going about this differently. What's different for you? How have you changed this year's, you know, game week prep or getting your body right compared to maybe the last couple of years?
It's something I really focused on during this off season, just because I knew that. You know, I was doing a lot, but I could do more. So, and that was one of those tough conversations you have to have with yourself, because, you know, you feel like you're doing well. People tell you you're doing well, but you know deep inside that you can bring some more. So, you know, the way I've been approaching practice is that I got to get better every day. That, you know, be where I am, be where my 2 feet are. You know, take advantage of every rep, and you know, I've seen it pay off on Saturday. So, you know, hopefully this is something that carries with me throughout the rest of my life. But I definitely feel like I've, you know, approach this season differently as far as my preparation, for sure.
Real quick, you said be where my 2 feet are. Zach Harrison just said the same exact words. Is that something that the coaches have said to you guys somewhere along the way, or is that just part of your culture?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that they, you know, they always emphasize. You know, we play this team this week. You know, it doesn't matter who's next week. You know, things like that. And, you know, it's not always worded that way, but, I mean, that might have just been the way we both chose to word it. But, yeah, no, I like that Zach said that. That's awesome.
Hey, Garrett, one of the things that Ryan Day has really emphasized this year is saying that the perimeter passing game is kind of an extension of the run game, and I'm curious what your perspective is on that and how important the perimeter pass game has been to what you guys do offensively.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge to be able to make defenses guard the whole field, you know, every down. So, you know, first down is primarily a rundown, but if you can throw a, you know, a 5-yard hitch or a, you know, a stogie, we call them stogies, a bubble from the outside, and go get 6 yards, 7 yards, you know, that puts the offense in a great position to be able to get that first down. And something that's huge in our plan to win is getting 2 first downs to help our defense stay off the field and just the battlefield position. So things like that, you know, they all add up. And, you know, the extension of the run game, they're long passes. So when he says that, they're like a long handoff, I mean, is what he means by that. So, like, you know, the things we should go 100% on as far as completing the pass, catching it. And, you know, if we can do it, it keeps the offense on schedule.
Do you think it keeps defenses off balance? Is that something that they're surprised by when you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we try to switch it up each week as far as how we do those extension of the run games. But, you know, like I said, you know, they first play of the game against Purdue, we went a bubble route. And, you know, from that point on, we didn't really get the look. That was a great throw against Luke. But it's just they're coming down. You know, the players are coming down, having to respect what we shown them. So it definitely makes it harder on the defense, harder on the coordinator to, you know, account for everybody and just make sure you have enough numbers to cover the whole field and get a stop, you know.
Got time for just a few more. Front row, middle, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
Thank you, Rhett. A couple of betting sites have CJ as the Heisman front runner at this point. Have you seen that? What do you think of that?
I haven't seen it. I've seen 11 Warriors post something, and, you know, that don't surprise me. So, I mean, it's something coming into the year. I thought it would be the kid from Oklahoma or our dude. So, you know, it don't surprise me at all that CJ. You know, I've seen him sling it for a year and a half now, 2 years, and he's something really special. And then just, you know, if we finish the way we expect to, the way we prepare to, you know, he'll be right where he wants to be at the end of the season as far as those Heisman odds, Heisman race.
And Michigan State's pass defense is statistically the worst in the country. How exploitable are they? I'm sure that you think that they're better than their stats, but what do you see from their pass defense?
Yeah, I mean, I watched them play against Purdue, and I think they're a really good team. So, you know, it's hard to – I mean, you see what Purdue, you know, threw against us, you know, so it's hard to play against teams like that really spread the field, air it out, and, you know, are trying to come back or get a lead like that all the time because they're 8-1. So, you know, they're probably playing ahead. I mean, I know the team up north game, they're playing from behind, but teams, you know, those numbers can be skewed. So they're throwing the ball a lot. Teams throwing the ball a lot trying to come back. Or you see Purdue and then another team, that Maryland, that throws the ball a lot. So, you know, they have a good pass defense. You know, they got a lot of transfers in. I remember who I saw last year, and they have a good pass defense. But we're definitely going to try and, you know, get some things open against them for sure.
Second row right, Austin Ward, Letterman Row.
Garrett, which one of those four touchdowns was your favorite?
The second one, for sure.
Why?
You know, that's always been, like, what I felt I do best is go up and get the 50-50 ball. And, you know, I feel like I hadn't shown that as much this year. So, you know, to be able to go up and do it, and, you know, it just felt good.
Where does that one rank amongst some of the other aerial balls that you pulled down in the last couple of years?
I don't know. That's for y'all to decide. But it felt pretty good making the catch. So, I mean, it looked good on the replay. So, you know, I thought it looked all right.
Got time for just a couple more. Over here, far right, Clay Hall, WSYX.
Same question. How do you make that split-second decision? You twirled your body, and then you threw up, if this is the one you're talking about, where you threw your leg up almost like you're boxing the guy out for a rebound. Is that what made it?
I can't say I'm thinking about anything. So, I mean, I can't give myself too much credit. I mean, I'm just trying to catch it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I played basketball, football, you know, my whole life, soccer, gymnastics and stuff like that. So, you know, my body kind of moves in ways that I don't know. I just don't know. But I watch the stuff, and I don't know how I really, you know, can move my leg that way without it being hurt or something like that. But
you screamed it completely.
So he couldn't.
Yeah, I can't say I meant to. So that, I can't give myself too much credit for that.
And final questions, front row right, Tim Main, Letterman Row.
Hey, Garrett, your conversations with CJ, for example, as you guys work through a week and stuff, how much higher a level are they now, just about X's and O's and about adjustments and stuff? And
yeah.
How much have you seen him grow in that regard?
I mean, it's high level to the point with CJ where he'll text you on a Monday, Tuesday. I mean, he's really special. Like, he loves what he does. He takes an edge into every meeting. Feels like he's got a chip on his shoulder, and when you know him, you can really tell. So, I mean, he's really special. He's texting me, you know, I can't think of a week he ain't texting me during the week saying, "Look at this dude, how he guarding this? Like, we're gonna make him pay for that," or something like that. You know, along those lines. So, I mean, it's to the point where we're out on the field and we talk about every ball we just thrown. So, if we miss it, you know, he's coming over. If we catch it, he's coming over. How you like that one? Is that all right? Like. I mean, he's really special. That's what I'm saying.
To ask you, in a game,
how often do y'all alter something or change something? And I don't know how much even freedom you have to do that. I mean, talking on the, you know, sideline before you go back out, or maybe in the midst of a, you know, between plays and stuff. Does that happen very often?
It does. You know, so football is such a game of making adjustments and seeing things and making an adjustment to that. And defense does it, so, you know, we'd be at a disadvantage if we didn't. So. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. CJ, he's very intellectual as far as the game of football goes. He's very, you know, understanding what defense is trying to do. He remembers what looks he just got very well. So we'll go back to the sideline and talk about him. But I mean, it's so many adjustments that go on during the game. And CJ, you know, leading a few of them most of the time. Yeah.
We're definitely in the two and done phase right now. Sorry about that, Jared. I do have just a couple more. Third row middle, Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com.
Do you rep those 50-50 balls in practice, though, much? How do you work on that to have that kind of body control?
When you get the chance, it's hard to replicate those in practice just because you try to keep people healthy all year. You try to keep yourself healthy. So, you know, it's hard to replicate stuff like that. And, you know, we just want to have everyone be upright and on their 2 feet all practice. And usually those end in someone falling. But, you know, as far as I go, I just don't really not have a ball in my hand too often. So I know I got like two or three at the crib. And then people that know me, they know that I walk around the hotel room with it. And most of the time I'm, you know, doing something where I'm acting like I'm catching a ball over somebody or catching it above my head. So, you know, there's a lot of it is I owe to my parents and, you know, ability and I owe to God. But, you know, I worked at it over these, you know, last 4 or 5 years. Sorry about that.
And you talked about CJ as a Heisman candidate. What about you as a Heisman candidate?
Nah, it's got to be the QB. So, I mean, he's making checks, handing it off, slinging it to me when I'm open, not slinging it to me when I ain't open. So he make me look good. So, nah, if it's going to be me, it's got to be CJ. I don't belong up there. That's the man, CJ, for sure.
And last question, Bill Rebellion, Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up. You mentioned gymnastics is one of the things you did.
Yeah.
How much did that help you? When did you do that?
I was mad at my mom that she had me in it growing up. I was in it till 5 to 7, but you know, I thank her now for it. So, you know, just being able to be flexible. I'm probably one of the most flexible players on the team, just being able to touch toes and stuff like that, you know, go around your body and stuff like that. So I didn't realize, you know, the benefits it would have, but I did that from 5 to 7, and, you know, I still feel like it pays off every now and then, you know, in 21.
Great. Garrett, thank you so much.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Okay, folks, hope you enjoyed those interviews. Some interesting comments from Coach Day, and nice to hear from Zach and Garrett. We will try and get some player interviews out to you later tonight or by Thursday at the latest. So hope you enjoy that. And as always, keep locked in here to the Buckeye Cast for all your good shit. Hit the website, thebuckeyecast.com. Get your Beat Michigan shirts. You need to get those in. We're going to run out if you wait until the week of the game. So order those now. We got free shipping on orders over $50, so hit them up. All right, we will talk to you later. Peace.